I'll be reading this evening from the 12th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 12, I'll be reading from the New King James translation. The setting for this verse, this section of verses, we'll be reading the entire chapter here. Before preceding this, we have the beautiful messianic prophecy that Isaiah makes. And in between, we see a bit of an interlude here before Isaiah makes the proclamation against Babylon, the destruction of Babylon. Let's read this together. And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, Praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his deeds among the peoples. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst.
Many people today in the world are hurting. I believe to some extent that all people hurt at one time or another. I sat a few days ago and watched on television as the announcements were being made about the layoffs for AT&T. And I listened to some of the folks as they were being interviewed and listened to people who had just found out that they had lost their job. And others were interviewed who said, even if we keep our job, the announcement has been made that so many thousand are going to be laid off, and you know, we're going to be working maybe for the next few years, realizing that the pink slip could come any day. A lot of people hurting. Last week at the meeting of the board of the American Cancer Society here in this county that meets here at our building, we viewed a VCR tape of Camp Horizons, which is a camp for young people, teenagers particularly, who have cancer, some of them terminal cancer, most of them who've lost their hair, most of them who have other indications, even physically, of the problems that they are bearing. And I just sat there and thought about how some of these young people must be hurting, and was thankful at least that we can do a little bit to help them to have a time when they can be together and share together in a camp situation, which is extremely important for them. I tried to sit there and think, what would I do if I were in that particular setting? How would I deal with it? And I tried to think yesterday, how would I deal with the situation if I were the grandparents of that little 9-year-old girl that was jerked off her bicycle and her throat cut? I don't know exactly how I'd deal with that. But I am convinced because of these things that people are hurting, and I'm convinced that all the people that are hurting are not outside this building. In fact, many times when you and I look at each other, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. We don't know what may be in the mind of the other person. I would suppose that there's not a one of us in here tonight except those that are still in the innocence of childhood, but who in some way is carrying a hurt. Maybe we have our own physical problems, medical problems, or we have somebody in our family that does and is hurting. Maybe it's a financial problem. Maybe it's a problem on the job. All of us hurt at different times and to different degrees. And I certainly admit to you that there are times that I hurt. Although I am blessed in many ways above most people, I realize there are times that I hurt. I guess one of my biggest problems is the fear of the unknown, especially when it may deal with illness and what the problems are, and my imagination runs rampant. We all have our hurts. We're all hurting in different ways. I believe the answer to this is found in this little short book, little short chapter in the book of Isaiah. I was reading this the other day and especially noticed the statement in verse 2. I will trust and not be afraid. Trust in the Lord. Without knowing it, David Powell and I put together companion lessons today. David preached an excellent lesson this morning. Those of you that were here remembering telling the story about the white goose. And the idea in it was that many of us sometimes are carrying burdens that we don't need to be carrying. We need to get rid of them. We need to repent. We need to find that salvation that is in Christ. And I think that idea is such a wonderful one and in a sense fits in with what we're talking about tonight. I announce the subject as trust in God. Our scripture reading, of course, is the chapter we're looking at. Our prayer tonight was led in such an excellent way along these very lines. Our songs have just been exactly what we're thinking about. And I want you just to think with me for a moment about four things that are indicated in this little short chapter of Isaiah 12. Number one, this chapter says that God can take care of His. God can take care of His. I need to be reminded of that. I think all of us do. Notice the word exalted is used in connection with His name in verse 4. Verse 5 says, He hath done excellent things. And verse 6 says, Great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. And I would especially point out the latter of those statements. Great is the Holy One of Israel. Great is our God, we sing. We use that word great many times in talking about God and in talking about Jesus as our Savior, as His Son. Great is our God. God is able to take care of His own. I think Amos was emphasizing this in the fourth chapter of Amos when he said at verse 12, Prepare to meet thy God. He was not using that verse in the sense we usually use it of getting ready to meet God at the day of judgment. He was talking about if you're going to fight against God, realize how great He is. And in the earlier part of that chapter, he points out many things that God had done to try to bring these people to their knees to really trust in Him. And he said, you won't do it. Therefore, you'd better size up your enemy and realize how great God is. We serve a great God. And I'm not talking tonight just about the fact that He's great enough to create everything you and I see. That's one part of His greatness. And I'm not talking about that He's great enough to call an end to everything just like that at this moment if He wanted to. I'm talking about His greatness in taking care of His own. Abraham was asked, Where is the sacrifice? Where is the lamb? And he said, Son, God is able. And Hebrews 11:19, referring back to this, says that Abraham believed that God was able even to bring Isaac back from the dead. The conversation between Daniel at the time he was cast into the lion's den and the king, Daniel said, God's able. In fact, he was asked the question, is your God able to spare you and to take care of it? And as I summarize, in a sense, Daniel said, My God is able to even shut the mouths of these lions. Daniel was one of God's. There's no question about it. He was going to pray to his father no matter what the decree was. He would not let anything turn him away from his God. And he said, My God is able. It was Paul who said in 2 Timothy 1:12, what we just sang, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And there is a passage over in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 that I just don't think we can get the meaning of it if I don't just read it word for word. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Did you notice that? He is able to do exceeding abundantly above. There are not too many times in the Bible that you'll see that many descriptive words of either adjectives or adverbs to describe something or to describe an action. But here in talking about God's ability, he says it's something that even exceeds what we can understand. His ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. And I think point number one tonight that you and I really need to get into our thinking is our God is able to take care of his. And then the second point that's made in this little short chapter is that God will take care of his. Not only is he able, but he will perform. Sometimes when we're talking about people, even when we're talking about us, we may not perform up to our abilities. We may not even carry out all our promises. We may not do what we're capable of doing. We may not even do what we are capable of doing to help each other in this area of hurting. But God will. Look at the first verse. When his wrath is turned away, he says, "Thou comfortest me." God will bring comfort. Now, we don't want to overlook his wrath that is talked about there. And Romans 1:18 says, "The wrath of God comes from heaven against all ungodliness." And 1 John 2:1 through 2 explains how Jesus becomes a propitiation for our sins. And he sort of becomes that shield so that the wrath of God, which we deserve, does not come to us. But here he says, when that wrath is done away, and when we appease the wrath of God, in our case through Jesus, he says there is comfort. We can't find that kind of comfort anywhere else. And then back to the statement that we read there in verse 2. He said, "I will trust and not be afraid." One of the wonderful blessings that we can have would be able to go to bed tonight and not have any fears. Even though we hurt, and even though we all have our cares and our concerns, and I suppose as long as we live, we will have some cares and concern. I would hope we never get to the point that we can't care and be concerned, but that we do it in a way that we really don't have any fear, because our God can take care of us, and he has promised that he will take care of us. You've heard it quoted many times, Romans 8:28, "All things work together for good to them that love the Lord." Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." 1 Peter 5:7, "Cast your cares upon the Lord, he cares for you," is the idea that is there. And yet I think sometimes even those of us that preach and point out to others that this is the attitude that we ought to have sometimes wrestle with it in the same way that you do. Of really believing that. Oh, I know we say we believe it. I mean really believing that and applying it to where we know that even with our hurts and with our cares and with our concerns, that somehow or other it's all going to come out all right. I sometimes say I'm convinced that God will take care of these things, but sometimes I wish he'd hurry up just a little bit. I think that's where my faith sometimes is not as strong as it ought to be. But these passages point out, and especially note here in verses 1 and 2 and on down, he says that Jehovah is my strength and my song and my salvation. Now, there are a lot of ideas that could be involved in those three words, but at least these: he is my strength, underneath are the everlasting arms. He is there to hold me up and give me support. He is my song. when I read that, I sort of think of it being a way of life. You know, sometimes I'll be going about life and all of a sudden I'm singing, and if I don't stop and think, I may not even realize what I'm singing. I'm singing that's sort of second nature to me. And if we have the right relationship to God, He's going to be our song. We may be singing a song of praise to Him. It may be for some of you younger ones just that little song, Jesus Loves Me. But God becomes our song, and then salvation, He becomes the end result of it all. Salvation from our sins and eternal salvation at the end of it. He becomes our everlasting arms to lift us up. He becomes our way of life, and He becomes the end result of it all. Our God can take care of His, and our God will take care of His. The third thing that's important for me to be able to say it, and I believe I can say it tonight, I am His. Now, it won't make much difference for us to talk all night about the fact that God is able and God wants to unless we're there to take advantage of that. Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood for all people, but all people are not saved. Why? It's only when you and I are able to say, I am His. And I want you to look back at the last word of verse 1 and two or three words that are in verse 2. Thou comfortest me. It's about as individual as you can get. Jehovah is my strength, my song, my salvation. Oh, the idea of Christian fellowship and togetherness and unity and congregational idea is important, but there comes a time when somehow or other each one of us has got to look at God as a personal God. And you've heard preachers say, and I believe it, that Christ would have died for me if I were the only person that had ever lived. I think you can believe that. And to be able to say tonight, I am His. I don't mean that in the sense that I think I could never turn away from Him. I know I could. I don't mean it in the sense that I think I'm perfect. I know I'm not. In fact, if I were perfect, I wouldn't need Him. And I'm not saying that I don't make any mistakes, because I do, maybe more than I even realize. But 1 John 2:5 says, whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. And in that chapter of Romans 8, along about verses 14 and 16, we have the statement that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. I believe, folks, that I can take this that's the revelation of the Spirit and lay it alongside what I have done and know tonight that I'm a Christian. Know that I am one of His. That's what we were talking about when we sang those words, I know whom I have believed. Having seen Him? No, except through this. I know that my Redeemer lives. Oh, so many of the songs have the word know. And last night I was just glancing through 1 John. And I don't want to take the time tonight, but it would be interesting to count the number of times that the word know is used in just the little book of 1 John. We know that we have eternal life. Here again, that's not saying we can't lose it. That's not saying that we can never sin. That's not what he's saying. But we can know that we are Christians and know that our Father in heaven, who is able and who will, is taking care of our needs. In fact, there in Matthew 6, in that great beloved Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, in several verses leading up to verse 33 and 34, said, if you put God first, all these other things are going to come into focus and be added. Sometimes we may not know exactly how. Sometimes all the harvest doesn't come in October. And sometimes there are things that happen in our lives that we don't fully understand. But we can understand that God is able to take care of His, God will take care of His, and I can be His. And I can say tonight, as a New Testament Christian, I am His. Therefore, I should be able to do what is said a little bit later in this chapter here in Isaiah chapter 12, where he talks about what we ought to do in our relationship with God and in our relationship with others as we talk about God and what He is. Notice in number 2, because I am His, I can trust in Him and not be afraid. In verse 4, because I am His, I will praise the Lord. I will call upon His name. I will declare His doings among the people. I will make mention that His name is to be exalted. Now, I don't think that's going to bring perfect trust to any of us because we are imperfect humans. And I'm not suggesting to you tonight that when this service is over, all of us will leave here and there will be no hurts. There will be hurts. And we'll continue to carry those hurts and those difficulties, and we'll continue to have problems. There'll be other problems that we'll have. I have no doubt about that it'll come. This is life, and life includes those things. But I believe there is the assurance just in these few 6 verses that we can find the help to meet those difficulties and to carry those burdens that we cannot lay aside. We need to lay a lot of the excess baggage aside, like David was talking about this morning. And through the forgiveness of God and the power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ, we can lay aside a lot of the excess baggage that we are carrying. Many of the things that are causing our hurts would not hurt if we'd get rid of them. But even when we've done our best, I can't stand here tonight and promise you that there won't be hurts, that there won't be tears, that there won't be difficulties. Our Lord wept. Our Lord faced difficulties. And He lived a perfect life. But I can tell you this. We have a God who is able to take care of every one of us and help us bear those burdens, take some of them even from us, and then help us to bear the rest that we carry on through life. He can become our strength. He can become our song. He can become our salvation. And I can tell you this. He wants to. He will do that if we'll just be His. And number 3, I can be His. And because of that, I can praise His name, declare that name to others, and let it be my strength, my song, and my salvation. I will trust in the Lord, and I will not fear. I know the answer is in God. And I'm pretty well persuaded that there are some of you here tonight that are not His. He's able to help you. He's able to remove your burden of sin, at least the guilt of it. And He is able to help you and to give you that kind of strength. All He asks you to do is come believing in Him, repenting of your sins, confessing His name, being buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins. There may be those here tonight that are already Christians who have not really lived as they should, and because of that have brought about some other baggage to carry and some other burdens. God will help. If you need to repent, if you need the prayers of the church, remember that God will help. All of us hurt, but the answer is in the fact, especially the first 3 points. God is able, God wants to, and I can be His. If you're not, come to Him as together we stand and sing.